This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly on the Tee Florida.
I demand satisfaction.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Fresca?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf.
He's got to be pleased with Dad.
From PGA to NCAA. And now...
Well, we're waiting.
Let's tee off with Mike Rickard, Oscar Gamer, and John Rieger.
Good afternoon and welcome to On the Tee Florida. Two pros and a hack and the humor squad on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network and streaming on RadioSt.Pete.com and FloridaSportsStream.com on this September 7th. On the Tee Florida is brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, and Sea Dogs Brewery, serving breakfast daily. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill in downtown St. Petersburg. Just a very special day from Tropicana Field. It's the Rays and Mariners tonight with a 6:40 first pitch. And it's actually our tribute to Jimmy Buffett night. He was an avid golfer. He's an artist, loved around the globe. And we're all back in front of the pirate ship, appropriately. I'm Mike Rickard, head of the Hack Nation. Going to tee it up and share Jimmy Buffett stories with John Rieger, PGA of American Golf Pro. And, of course, we've got Bill Buttner will be in the house, two pros and a hack. And then the entertainment crew comes on board, and that's Tom Gribben, producer, author, musician, attorney, great friend of Jimmy Buffett's, and then the golf comedian, technical wizard that salvaged this show. Producer, actor, the multi-talented, the most amazing man on the planet, Terry McNally, as he was ingenious in getting us on the airwaves.
Not
on this
effort. No I in team there, Mike. Come on now.
I'm not done introducing
teamwork,
you.
Teamwork.
I'm not done introducing you.
Work. Feathers. Get to the rest of the cast. Come on.
Feather Sound Communications. And, of course, we have Tom Gribben in the house. And John Rieger, if he quits chit-chatting and throwing down coldies, he drives all the way down here, and now he's tardy for the start of the show. John Rieger,
talking to Patty, the guard girl.
Well, that's a lot better than talking to me.
Can we give the audience...
Two pros and a hack.
Can we give the audience John's bio, please?
Yeah, John Rieger.
John, yes.
PJ of America, teaching pro. He is my right-hand man, drove all the way down. Here comes Patty Suzette, and she is a cocktail queen, as we, at the very last minute, were able to get you this great evening. We're going to do 2 hours of conversation, chit-chat about the great Jimmy Buffett, and we are absolutely blessed to have Tom Gribben in the house, a gentleman that knew him. Thank you, dear. I appreciate it. Great service. We're all back. If you happen to be in the area, come on back and say hello. Right next to the pirate ship. As I said, 6:40. It's the Mariners and the Rays, and actually the battle of one division leader and one team battling to get in the top of the division. So thank you very much, Kerry McNally, for being so ingenious.
All right, Mike, can everybody hear me? Is this the right mic? Mike?
Yep, you're good to go. Everybody's okay. Good to go.
So let's set the scene for you, everybody at home or listening while you're on the road, that we are right in front of the pirate ship at Ferg's Bar and Grill, established in 1992, the place to go before and after the Tropicana Field Express. But you come down here and you pregame or you postgame, but we're here doing a golf show. The weather is gorgeous. We've got a really amazing cast, Mike. This is going to be a great show.
And we're in the shade. Mr. Gribben was concerned about that. We should all be concerned about it. And, of course, if you saw what happened to Mr. Buffett, I think all of us, it heightened awareness. I know that for a fact, John Rieger.
Well, I can tell you it's great to be down here at Ferg's in front of the pirate ship here. And I can tell you, Kerry, thank you for the rescue here. This is the equivalent of being on the first tee and shanking it and hitting a spectator right off the bat. Ow. So, but we're going to recover.
It's not.
We're going to recover.
On the air punctually.
Are you saying that the opening of this show was a Gerald Ford?
It could have been, yes. I don't know what number president he was, but yeah, absolutely.
I've never done that, so I don't know what you're talking about. I'm always straight down the middle.
Isn't that a Bing Crosby song?
Straight down the middle.
Now, I see we have beverages in front of everybody. Does everybody have one?
Yes, I have a blue one in front of me.
Well, it's 5:08, so it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Well, wait a second. Yeah, look, the back of my shirt, everybody.
Yeah, that's great for radio. Isn't that great for radio?
Oh, fantastic. Embroidered.
Looks good on radio.
Got the patent shirt for radio.
Well, I wanted to tell my...
Hey, I'm going to have her describe your shirt because I thought you were a radio guy. Don't get damaged getting into the chair.
So we are looking at, it's an embroidered shirt on a lovely light blue. It says always 5 o'clock, and it definitely has a Jimmy Buffett parrot holding a cocktail that says a 5 on it. And there is one on his front, too. I just looked at his boob.
And it's smoking something with a smoke ring.
And I want to give kudos to my wife, the lovely Miss Karen, who bought this shirt for my birthday. She saw this over the weekend and so decided, sweet. You've got to wear this down to Ferg's 19th hole pirate ship right now.
And she's a little under the weather right now. So a little shout out to Karen if she happened to be listening. But, when I saw the news on... And Jimmy, I think I reached out to you right away, Tom Gribben.
Yes, you did.
And I thought we'd do just like a segment. And then I started getting a little energy and I reached out to John Rager and we kicked some ideas around. And he said, this is a 2-hour show. And I spoke to him all week. And what a great man, what a great human being. Talk a little bit about
him. And he was a golfer too, Mike.
Well, that was what I was going to talk about. I got all kinds of golf stories about him. I've been doing my homework. He loved to golf. In fact, there was one quote that, He may have enjoyed golf as much as he enjoyed the beaches. Now, that's hard to believe, but he loved golf.
That sounds like an advertisement for something.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know. I don't know if that was true.
It was a quote. It came out of his mouth at the Wyndham Championship.
Okay, so who's going to go first with their one-on-one encounter with the man, the myth,
is that it?
And
yeah,
the legend?
That's better.
Yeah. He was going to go first with a one-on-one encounter with the man, myth, and legend, Jimmy Buffett.
Well, I think we should let the, not that he's the senior participant in this fun day, but I think we should let Tom Gribben.
Oh, the smartest one. Oh, okay.
Patty, would you like to begin?
At least I won't go full deer in headlights like last week.
That was pretty comical. So why don't we start with Tom Gribben? Of course, Tom and his band, the Saltwater Cowboys. Tom Gribben and the Saltwater Cowboys, down in my neighborhood, Treasure Island. Of course, the author of The Last Florida Boy. I started perusing through that. I was going to tell you to bring a couple of books tonight.
Got them in my car.
Beautiful. Because there's some stories that may or may not relate to Jimmy Buffett.
Have you read the whole thing?
It's an amazing story. Okay. I read the whole
thing. Great read.
Well, and also on the second hour, I'm bringing in Pete Merrigan, who probably met Jimmy a year before I did back in the 70s. I have a great photo, this bar where we started playing music, our first professional gigs. As a matter of fact, my first professional gig, I was practicing law in Miami. I fly up here to make $25, and we played down at the NEPA.
You flew up?
Yeah, to make $25.
How much did your flight cost?
27.
I don't even remember.
But
we didn't make any money.
Yeah, obviously.
Between that and the bar tab, yeah. We weren't doing it for the money.
It was a losing proposition.
But this is the first mention of Buffett that was really funny because he was well known amongst us Florida people, but he wasn't a big national figure yet. And so I was playing at this place called the NEPA Hut. You know it down? It's down by the Skyway. It was a Holiday Inn.
Is it still there?
Yeah, except they built a big two-story bar there. But it was just a tent with a bar in it. And it was our something like that. And it was our first gig. And I remember the guy, he didn't know anything about music. He was just the food and beverage manager. And he was very strict. And we were just going like, is this how life is going to be? And he told us his story. He said, you sailboat in last week. And he said, if I'd let him, dock the sailboat for free for 4 days, he'd play a free gig. And we're looking at each other. We're going, what's the name of the boat? And it turned out it was Jimmy Buffett. And the guy turned him down. He said, if he just not have to pay, dockage fees, he would play a show at the NEPA Hut. And we were just laughing at this guy, our first food and beverage manager, were gone.
And
he didn't have a clue.
Jimmy Buffett said, nah, okay.
No, so he moved the boat on.
Yeah,
and
see ya.
Welcome to the party, my girlfriend, who's got the most Jimmy Buffett attire on of anyone. Yeah, you can sit up here in the front row, dear, or you can sit back here by your favorite person on the planet.
Me?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, you can sit next to Patty Suzette. Oh, yeah. Have a seat. It's just going to be a party for the next couple of hours. So, John, I can't wait to hear more of his stories, Tom's stories, as far as the interaction, the coral reefers. When you had real quick, on your birthday party, didn't you have a couple of the original coral reefers?
Oh, yes. You know, Roger Bartlett, we play the first weekend in January, first Saturday in January every year at Katiki. All the guys I toured with, all the guys in the band, we're still really good friends. And they still play in different bands themselves, and we all get together. And we're going to be playing January 6th this year, Saturday night at Katiki. And you're right.
Last year, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, because the Saturdays move around.
Yeah, Mike. I got that. I figured out.
Sober up, Mike. Come on. We got 2 hours to go. So anyway, last year, as you said, you were there. And Roger Bartlett, his original guitar player, came and played. I'm going to ask Roger to come again this year. Without rehearsal or anything, he just came up and plugged in, started playing.
That was a Tiki. I enjoyed that thoroughly. And you guys, I'm not exposing any ages, but you certainly were. You guys didn't miss a beat.
No, and most of us lived through it.
And what's your harmonica player's name?
His name is TC. Tom Jeez, Carr.
Oh man! TC.
And I've got this little picture from 1976, and everyone on the radio will enjoy this photo.
we're not doing. I'm sorry.
Oh, look at this, everybody!
Yeah. Everybody, now, everybody, please enjoy the photo right now, everybody.
I'm going to explain it to you. It's a black and white photo of this little bar, the Keg and Cork, where we started our musical careers. And one night, the guy I'm bringing on next, and I'll explain it when I introduce him, but. He had a little band, Shackett and Merrigan, and Buffett stopped in one night to play. And right in the middle of it is T.C. Carr, the harmonica player, who plays with
He was jamming that Saturday night.
Yeah, and it was a complete surprise, and Jimmy came in and did an hour. And it was the kind of thing in those days, in these little joints, that we all get to experience.
Well, that's a great story there. You were going to say, my friend?
No, I'm going to say anything, but that's a great picture, and we're the radio show you can't see, but we're going to see that picture on
the
On the Tee Florida.
Talking about his shirt.
I know, on the Tee Florida, on the Tee Florida golf.com, you just can go there and see that kind of photo posted, but also on our social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, because Tom sent me, we did a little pregame warm-up here.
Pregame toddy.
We've got 2 hours of Tom Gribben stories about Jimmy Buffett right now. Let's focus on that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I want to make it a celebration.
No, he doesn't want to all the bad stories. He's got way more than 2 hours.
Well, I didn't hear any bad stories out there, and you said we're bad, but not no. bad at all.
No. They're all good.
They're all interesting.
And when Pete comes on aboard the second hour too, he can share some stories as well.
You know, I recognize you, introduce you typically as St. Petersburg's most interesting man, but the more that I dive into Jimmy Buffett's life, he was an interesting man. Talk about an incredible success from a businessman perspective. Amazing. A humanitarian. And I think one of the organizations he started was Save the
Manatees.
Save the Manatees.
I was involved in that too.
Like that.
I'll show you some more pictures.
You were involved with that?
But that was Jimmy's, one of his special charities. But I can tell you, one of my favorite stories, I think, relating to you talk about Jimmy as a businessman. You know, back in those days when you were in the music business, it's critical to get a radio hit. And, he had Come Monday, had Margaritaville, and then he went 10 years without a radio hit. And if you're a musician at that time, it concerned him. And so he tried, he passed on Rodney Crowell's Voila, an American Dream. You remember that song?
Yeah, absolutely.
I beg your pardon, Mama, what's that you say? Anyway, the Dirt Band did that and got a number one hit out of it. So he felt like he should be looking for a radio hit. Then he tried that song that he did, It's My Job. It was written by one of the guys in his band, Mac McAnally, and they thought that was going to be the radio hit, and it didn't quite hit. And so he decided, and I remember being down in Bradenton at the Bradenton Civic Center for a concert. This is like 86. And I was sitting backstage, and he was telling me with him, and it was just the two of us in the room, and he was telling me the story about what he's going to do now. He's not chasing radio anymore. And I, at the time, I went, I don't know, this could be the end of your career. But he was going, I've decided, like, to, create a culture around it, like the Grateful Dead did. with the, you know, the Grateful Dead never had a radio hit, and yet when they went around, everybody showed up. They just wanted to be in the culture of the Grateful Dead.
What they call them, deadheads?
Deadheads. That's right.
We got parrotheads. We got deadheads.
Well, that's where the name parrothead came from. It was an extension of the deadheads. I think it was the Timothy B. Schmidt, the Eagles bass player, who came up with that name and said, "Jimmy, you know, followers are deadheads. Parrotheads." And so he embraced that, and he said, from now on, I'm just going to build the culture rather than go after a radio hit." And he never went after a radio hit, and probably didn't have another hit for years until It's 5 o'clock Somewhere. But he was one of the largest grossing concert, with people would buy tickets to his concert of anybody, bigger than Michael Jackson, or, you know, at the end of the year, Jimmy was making more money than all of them. And it was because he decided, as a business decision, and as to him, it wasn't just business, although he was very business oriented, but as a personal decision, he thought it would be fun that way. To just go, look, we'll just create a culture. And he knew how to do it. Even, I mean, the Dead were good at it, but the Dead let the people do it. Jimmy, his pregame parties, as you know, John, you know, everybody's out in the parking lot all day long.
Oh yeah.
And what Jimmy would do is send a video team out there and video all this.
He created a culture.
And put it up on the screen while the concert's going on. So you can remember.
People felt personal, like they were personally a part of
it. Yes, they were connected to him personally.
I was watching a show today. I've been watching a ton of them on YouTube all week. I've been overdoing it. One Room's got it on Spotify. The other one's got a YouTube live concerts. But he really interacted with the audience. He was, I think, at St. Louis, and it was Mac McAnally's 65th birthday. He said, "Anybody else got a birthday?" "Well, Kerry, I can't remember the guy's name." He goes, "Is that right? All right, Kerry, stand up." And they sang happy birthday to the guy, and he reached over and gave him a pick. He goes, "Now when you go home, you're going to beat somebody. You're nobody when you got here. Now you're going to be somebody." But he just interacted with the audience, and that was the cool thing about Jimmy. He was just, you know, one of the people.
Sure.
Well, you know, Jimmy Buffett's a way of life. It's just not about the songs. It's about what's in the songs, and people want to live that lifestyle. And I was watching earlier this week about there's like a Steve Croft 60 Minutes interview from 20 years ago, some, you know, 60 Minutes feature on Jimmy Buffett. And they talked about how hard he worked. And, you know, he didn't enjoy the lifestyle that he did, but he actually did enjoy the lifestyle, and he worked really hard. But, you know, Jimmy Buffett is a way of life to people. It's just not about the music and the songs. People want to live their life just like Jimmy Buffett. And look at Kerry at the end of the, you know, end of the bar right here. And look at Mike with that shirt on.
Absolutely.
These are people that...
Can we describe it to the audience?
Yeah, you know, well, we...
We're done. Let's
let Patty, since Patty.
She's going to be nice.
Shirt. She described my shirt. Let's have her.
She just whispered to me, "It's oversized and ugly." But go ahead.
Yes, okay. Here.
Way to throw me under the bus.
This looks like a Beach Boys shirt back in the day. That's a Beach Boys shirt.
I don't know about.
It looked like a beach whale shirt. I can tell you that.
Oh.
No. We all love you, Mike. We're sorry. So sorry.
You're nice.
So sorry. Yeah. Now I'm being reprimanded by the crowd here. Here come the ambulances right now.
Your ass right now.
Oh my gosh, I don't even know what to start with this one. Shall we just describe everybody? Okay, so we have... So our man Mike is wearing his fabulous tropical, it looks like monstera leaves. We've got some palms going on. So it's a white background, tropical things everywhere.
It's a salad.
And red dressing all over it.
Let me tell you something about this.
Come on, Mike, tell us about the special sauce.
I searched long and far for this.
Oh wow!
It's a design by G.
I wear it
by GW.
GW.
Is that an Iowa guy?
Goodwill. I got this at the Goodwill. I swear to God.
Track my statement.
It's my favorite. You got it at the Goodwill. What's wrong? Goodwill.
No, that's awesome. I really.
There's a lot of good stuff at Goodwill.
Goodwill.
Right. It went to a good cause.
Exactly.
And they were, you know, when you walked out of the store, they said, "Hey, we finally got rid of that."
Here he comes again.
That guy looks like a salad.
Get that curtain. Get all that crap out of the back. He's coming back.
I didn't even give him a discount.
But you know what compliments that shirt so well is your ice pick baka sunglasses.
Yeah, how about these, baby?
Very, very nice.
Yeah. Who needs Ray-Bans? I got the IPs with the GW. I'm rocking tonight.
Want to be partnered with GW, but I still like it.
You can dress everything from top to bottom for less than $5.
So who's this gentleman with the Buffalo Bills shirt?
I did it's going.
Well, welcome to the party, and good luck to the Buffalo Bills. I think you guys play the Jets right off the start.
We're gonna put Aaron Rodgers in
place. Okay, champ.
I don't doubt that, but it's a nice dream.
Hey, so I got a question for you, Tom. Did Jimmy Buffett influence your music career in any way, shape, or form?
I think everybody in Florida. I mean, the name of my first band that we had together was called the Saltwater Band. And so when we were trying to think up the name of a band, John, you that isn't Taken or...
And even, well, you know, that's really difficult. Think about that for a second, because every song title, every band title, you think it's been taken until you hear the new one, but that's true. So how'd you come up
with
it?
And then, of course, these days you think up a name, you can just Google it up and you can see what's taken and who's reserved the online name and all that. Back then you just had to, hopefully it wasn't so. But anyway, to answer your question, we went through a bunch of names and they were all centered around this sort of Florida. We were kind of a Caribbean country band to start with. You know, I always felt we were between Nashville and down in the islands. I mean, there were, if you go down to like the Cayman Islands, all the big boats coming out of Galveston in Texas, you know, come through the islands there. So it's a really nice mixture of that country, that Texas country music and island music. And that's it fit me really well. And nobody was doing it. Obviously, Jimmy was doing it better than anyone, but that wasn't his focus. His was more about the lifestyle. But that we all, to answer your question, yeah, it influenced us because we were Florida musicians, and we no matter how you got started, Jimmy got started as a country musician, and kind of drifted into the pop, although he never lost his roots in country music.
Hey, I got to take care of a little business here, and then Kerry McNally's over here hysterically. I know he's got some lines that he wants to throw in my direction at my expense, but that's cool. But I do not.
You know, I love you and respect you and admire you and all of those. You do owe me $6.
We're on the T floor. It's archived on RadioSaintPete.com. If you're listening, this is our weekly On the T Florida show. But we decided we're going to do a tribute to the great Jimmy Buffett. He was an avid golfer. You can catch us on our flagship WTAN 106.1 FM. By the way, Tampa Bay Parrothead Club is in the house. AM 1340, Tampa Clearwater, St. Pete. WZHR FM 104.3 FM. WDCF AM 1350, Zephyr Hills. And WZHR 102.3 FM, AM 1400, Lake City, Gainesville. WGROAM. It's so great to have John Rager in the house.
You're good at this, Mike.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
How many more cities, Mike? Go.
1340. And by the way, we have two golf simulators here. And on the 19th hole clubhouse studios, we're looking at them right now. We are right outside Tropicana Field, right alongside our pirate ship on an appropriate day. And now I'm going to give him a few minutes here. What are you over there hysterically dying about? It's my salad shirt.
No, not
at all. It's got to be something.
No. We were talking about band names. And John, you're right. It's so hard to find a band name that no one's had already. But back in the 80s, I was in a garage band, and we were called Pungent Orifice.
Oh, geez.
I was thinking of I'm Butthole Surfers became a thing. And I'm
so
like,
so I guess
the Butthole Surfers is the name of a band.
Yes.
Imagine coming up with that name for your band and finding out it's already been taken.
Yeah. And you know what? In the garage, it's a tight squeeze in a place like that. So
here we go.
Best band ever. Best band name ever. Just smart from a marketing standpoint would be Bare Naked Ladies.
That's definitely never been taken.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or free beer, one of those two.
I like the Bare Naked Ladies. Can we start a band like that?
They're amazing.
Yeah, they are.
Wonderful.
I was thinking something about Holy Mackerel and the Barracudas or something, you know.
God, who says Holy Mackerel anymore? You're showing your age.
Well, you got to be over to say something.
Anybody on the radio would say that.
Butthole Surfers?
Yep, it's an actual band.
And you've never heard? You're from Iowa. You don't know this stuff.
I had heard. See?
The Cornhole Shuckers?
Cornhole Shuckers. There you go.
Lasted 32 minutes without a negative statement towards my home state.
Well, that was a compliment.
It's inevitable. It's going to happen.
Thank you so much. So, what was the name of your band?
A Pungent Orifice. And yeah, our first album stank.
Oh, my God. That's the comedian in the house.
Is that, is that the album cover that you could scratch and smell it?
That's it.
Can we make that? Well, we have gone off the rails, but that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have conversation.
I got to go.
You got to go. We're going to have conversation regarding how these clubs formed all over the city. We'll bring up, I mean, all over the country. And we've got the Tampa Bay Pair Club. I've seen them upstairs at Ferg's having their get-togethers. And I'm sure there was a lot of mourning and, but at the same time, celebrations across the world for the Parrot Club.
The Parrot Heads, you know, I would love to see how this one here developed and when it started. I'd love to hear that. So let's on the radio.
Why don't we bring one of them over or both of them over and slide over and slide these mics in front of them? How about that?
We're moving now. This is like being in court where everybody has to stand up and move over one.
I was thinking more like musical chairs.
They could do that. Okay, there we go.
Bedlin. Is it Dorothy Bedlin?
Yes.
All right, Dorothy. Well, I appreciate it. Now, you go by George or Jorge, or I don't want to get in trouble.
It doesn't matter because they cash the checks either way.
Okay. All right, my man. Well, get up to that mic. You're gonna be a great addition to the show. And I like your shirt, dear.
Thank you.
All right, so introduce yourself. And, of course, it's the Tampa Parrot Head Club. How long you guys have been members, what you do in the community, and the impact that Jimmy had on the club.
And when you started the club.
I'm Dorothy Bedlin. I'm the lovely lady president of the Tampa Bay Parrot Head.
The lovely lady.
Lovely lady. We started our club in 1994 with 8 people. I joined in year 2000. And been around for 23 years. And then I've been the president for about 10 now.
Yep.
That's amazing.
And my name is George Diaz, also Jorge Diaz. No relationship to the baseball player. I have absolutely no baseball abilities or football, by the way.
Well, I don't care. I'd be claiming Yanni Diaz right now if I was you, brother.
Oh, man.
he's,
but I can drink with the best of them, I can tell you that.
All right. Well,
I am the first mate of this crazy asylum over here we call the Tampa Bay Parrot Head Club. And been doing that for like 5 or 6 years. Enough, 5 years.
Do you, things are going astray here. Do you guys actually have a club?
Yeah.
Or do you just go from bar to bar? You have a brick and mortar?
No. Our home is over at Whiskey Joe's over in over on the Causeway in Tampa. And they're gracious hosts. I mean, they go ahead and they put up with us. They let us use the beach area there twice a month.
Cool.
Got a nice spread for us.
Well, I tell you what we'll do. We'll lay out some sand here for you. And right in front of the pirate ship so we can get you over a little more often. Oh, we like party people. You know, we converted the upstairs to the 19th hole, so we might have to convert you guys to getting involved here with the pirate ship. Have you been on it yet and taken any pictures?
No, I have not.
Well, you're going to have to do that before you leave, dear.
Yes, sir.
So since 2000, you've been a member
I've
of
been
the...
I've been a member since 2000, yes.
So you should know this, and maybe Tom knows this. When did Parrot Head clubs start popping up across America?
I mean,
there's fan clubs all the time at places, but
early 90s, the late 80s, early 90s. They were at a concert, and it was Timothy B. Schmidt, and he said, "Well, if there can be deadheads, then there can be parrot heads."
And that's what Tom was just saying. This is Tom Gribben. He's he still has in the Saltwater Cowboys, and he was talking about how they took that that Grateful Dead concept and converted it to Jimmy Buffett. And right. But he was more interactive with you guys and everybody, according to Tom.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. And then in Atlanta, they went ahead and they put out an ad in a newspaper, and it was anybody who's interested in forming a Jimmy Buffett, more or less like a lifestyle club, we're going to meet over at this bar. And then they got some members in, and a few members started out. I don't know how many there were, but there weren't that many. And then the next time that they put the ad out, it was like a frenzy, and it just kept growing and growing and growing. So Tampa Bay right now, we're the second largest club in the state of Florida.
I believe so, yeah.
Villages. Miami number one.
Villages.
Villages.
I'm actually going to be going there very soon. I look forward to hanging out with all of the parrot heads up there.
Yeah, Miami doesn't have a club anymore. They never do.
They did.
Very small, believe it or not. You think it'd be bigger.
Drinks are too expensive. They're really expensive.
The Villages.
The Villages are cheap drinks over there. That's really
you get some support from Buffett's organization, right? I mean, he gives you shout outs and.
Well, we have a lot of support from what they call it's a PHIP, which is Parrot Heads in Paradise. That is the main organization for all of the clubs worldwide. And it is a worldwide organization. So it's huge. They've got chapters all over the country and all over the world. So.
Okay. So I'm going to start with you, young lady. What year was it and how many Jimmy Buffett concerts have you been to?
So I haven't been to that many. I've been to maybe six.
Well, that's
no. And
after this, I've got a few.
My first concert was in 2005. And anytime he came, you know, we had always a huge tailgate out at the amphitheater.
Amphitheater.
And it was amazing. We'd get there in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning. They let us in the back gate. We'd set up in the corporate area. We had a ball.
Well, and you know, that's one of the things that Tom had mentioned, that he started doing, filming you guys having parties.
Yes.
And then put it on the big screen as you were watching the concert and really got interactive.
That's where I think I know George from, the screen.
I know, there's a lot of evidence out there on me. Yeah.
George, you have your shirt off in the front row?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I was wearing coconuts that day.
The color of your eyes, it's fine.
So Tom, do you remember when they did the salty piece of land and there was a like a lighthouse, a big lighthouse?
Yes.
That was a Tampa Bay Parrot Head that built that.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. I'll tell you, there was one time he played down in the he was out on the tour and he was he set the stage up. If you remember, this was late 80s, and he set the stage up like a bar, and he'd start playing by himself in this little bar, and there were people on stage playing poker or cards.
Oh, wow.
And then the whole band would come up at one at a time and then go sit down. The thing was about him playing solo in a bar, the chart room.
Wow.
And so what happened is there was a bar on the stage where a couple people were sitting, Ed Bradley from 60 Minutes. And
really?
So he invited us up, and there were a few of us, Joe Nuzzo from the Surf Shop, one of his good friends, me, and we were playing cards on stage while Jimmy was singing. We were pretending to be in a little beach bar like that photo I showed you. While he's singing, and then he'd call to his harmonica player who'd join him, and then he'd sit back down and play cards with us. And we were on stage the whole time, you know, like Salty Piece of Land.
Right.
And it was like, and had the overhead fans going. It was like we were down in Sloppy Joe's or something like that. Jimmy always had some cool kind of thing like that, you know.
Amazing mind.
Well, you know what? You were talking about he decided to get away from radio and create a culture. And I've been pouring through a lot of things all week long. And if you actually read the lyrics, and many times it is a way to live life and to be a friendly human being and to take, you know, breathe in, breathe out, and move on. And I love that one. Mm-hmm. Breathe in, you know, none of us do that. We all need to, but breathe in, breathe out, and move on. And that was kind of his mm-hmm. his base for advice. And I'm
Mike, that's where it ties into our show, because you need to take that advice to the golf course. And I've said that to myself many a times on the golf course. Breathe in, breathe out. Move on.
Well, yeah, when do you hit the ball is the question.
Yeah. This is after you hit a really bad shot.
Okay. That's Bill Butner, of course, the PGA teaching professional, has to insert that. I've got some more clips. Let's take our quick first hard break. We come back. We want to continue this conversation with the Tampa Bay Parrot Head Club. Kind enough to draw. You guys live in the area, or do you have to come across the bay?
We came across the bay.
Well, we love you.
Luke.
Okay. Oh, my. All right. We'll be back on our special. It's a memorial. It's a tribute. It's a celebration to the late, great Jimmy Buffett, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, across from Tropicana Field. where it's the Mariners and the Rays with a 6:40 first pitch. Come on down. We're starting to develop some momentum and have a little party. Come on down. We'll be back on the T Florida Jimmy Buffett tribute.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game-watching events, concerts, and, of course, all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action, along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club Rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We're back.
On the bench. Here, if you need us, get in there. Just get right here. All right, 18, varsity. Let's go.
Go and get in?
No, wait, I'm going to do a stand. We can go in now.
Okay.
I don't need any
headphones. I don't need any headphones. Jimmy would love to play golf with you instead of a time.
Welcome back to On the T Florida. It's our Jimmy Buffett tribute. Had a little Jimmy Buffett music for you listeners there on RadioSaintPete.com or on our flagship 106.1 FM, AM 1340 up in Clearwater. And John Rager back into the end of the game. And it's great to talk to George. And of course, how many years you say you've been? 6 years?
Yep.
Got a little closer to the microphone, my man.
Yep.
And
Dorothy.
23?
23 years as a member.
Holy moly. So, what are your numbers? How many people?
I would say we're probably tipping over 500 about right now. 500 yeah. members. We have had many people.
Yeah, I'm going to get a hold of Ferg. We're going to have a parent special, and we're going to jam this place.
Well, and you know, every once in a while,
we'll get Tom Gribben and the Saltwater.
We'll get Roger Bartlett down here. That would be
great. Yeah, Roger Bartlett played for our meeting last night.
That's what I heard. Yeah. I saw that on his Facebook thing. And I'd like to get him down here and do a thing right here at Ferg's.
We can do it.
That'd be awesome. We'll do it.
We're going to do it.
We're going to do it.
That'd be an absolute blast. We'll figure out what's the best day for you guys typically.
I mean, the weekends are best because most people still work. But, you know, right now we're kind of at the end of the year where we're kind of clogged up a little bit, but we can kind of work something out around something.
Usually Wednesdays are good.
500. Holy moly. And from all around the state, or you got a lot of
all of Tampa Bay.
Yeah, you guys are really parrot heads. You're very definitive. Like, we can do something sometime.
Yeah. Jimmy like it. Yeah, we'll just see what happens.
As long as you do it around 5 o'clock, we're good.
Yeah, 5 o'clock somewhere.
We'll figure out something sometime.
But somewhere's going to be Ferg's. Good thing we got John Rager with his...
Mike, without any great radio show has a teaser, at 6:10... We have Wild Bill's throw on. There's nobody that knows Jimmy Buffett more than Wild Bill. Even his kids can recite every lyric of every song, including the Get Drunk song. And we're going to have him on 6:10 at the top after the top of the hour, just so you know.
Well, I tell you what, that's a great way to bring your children up. Some of the things that they went to school and discussed might have been a little concerning there, Wild Bill. I know you're listening, but bravo. If you saw your buddy right now, I might have to have Terry come over. Hey, Patty. help him out with his attire. Look, he looks like, did you see his hat? He looks like one of those, I can't think of. No. He looks like Indiana Jones. He just fell off a horse and drank a bottle of ice pick.
Now he looks like
if Indiana Jones shopped at Goodwill.
Now you're really dangerous.
That's a name I haven't heard from.
Spends Goodwill.
And you know what? Forrest Tucker, one of my favorite all-time Hollywood stars.
Who
baked
that hat, though? I'm just curious. It looks like you slept in it for like...
There it is. Oh! Barry Storch.
There it is.
Corporal Agard. Agard.
John's
going to kick me off the show.
John, give us your best Corporal Agard.
I don't have Corporate Agar, so Carrie, you're going to come over here right now and give me a cork.
Tell them where they got the
right
name.
Now. Here you go.
Where they got
here
the name?
Go. One, two, three.
Flame and color.
Yes, sir. I agree with you.
So give us the how do they name the Indians, the Hakawi?
I think Carrie back here. Come on, Carrie. So answer that question. I have no idea what he's talking about.
It stems from a dirty joke, doesn't it?
Well, whenever one of the young men in the tribe would get excited, they would yell, "Hakawi!"
Actually, the tribe was stumbling around in the dark, and then one of the young guys goes, "Hey, we're the Hakawi." Except it, you know, comes from.
You explained it properly for our audience there. Where the heck, Kawi?
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, we had to.
I thought that was fine.
This, George. All right. So, what do you do for a living, young man?
I get to work on airplanes. Actually, I get to watch work on airplanes right now. I've been around airplanes my whole entire life, and a long time ago, I wanted to be around them, and I figured out how to go ahead and get paid for it. So. I'm a director over at one of the big hangars over in the Tampa International Airport.
Well, bravo.
Super cool.
Bravo. Well, Jimmy, of course, was a pilot.
Yes, he was.
Here's a little family factoid. My uncle, who's deceased now, but he was in the Air Force, and his superior was Jimmy Buffett's father, who was in the Air Force and had many awards and was recognized, his father. And that's probably where he got his penchant for wanting to fly. But bravo. Yeah.
You know, Jimmy's
great to have you here, too, because on the T Florida, we're just a bunch of hangers around.
You know, Jimmy was one of the few people, I think probably the only one, who actually went ahead and kneeboarded behind an albatross, which is a seaplane, a twin engine seaplane. So most people go ahead and get towed by a boat. He got towed by a plane.
He did?
Yeah.
Yes.
How cool is that? Oh, I forgot. You got an Marines in a flight background.
Yeah, no. So I have a Jimmy Buffett story. I haven't met a lot of celebrities. Yes. I haven't met a lot of celebrities in my life, and oftentimes, if I do, it's not that big of a deal. First, it was Tom Gribben, then it was you, Mike, then John lit me up. Bill, not even. Anyway, bye. Seriously, so I'm in my 20s. I'm on the radio. Hey, how are you? Out in the Hamptons, and I get invited to a very fancy fundraiser. An environmental organization is having a big fundraiser in the Hamptons, and I'm like, holy shit. I got an invitation. This is awesome. And so I put on a navy blazer, the khakis, the white shirt, go to this thing. And I had just read a book called Where is Joe Merchant? Written by Jimmy Buffett, right? And it really got me thinking about getting my pilot's license. And sure enough, I literally go like that to the left and I shoulder to shoulder with Jimmy Buffett.
At
a very fancy party in the Hamptons. It was a fundraiser, like $100,000 party with a giant ice sculpture of a swan, a live 32-piece band.
How much you paid to get it?
White tape. I talked my way in. I was eventually thrown out. I was a guest. Anyway,
they actually let busboys participate.
Correct. Remember, I had the navy blazer, Mike. Come on, you're ruining it,
my man.
So anyway, I bump into Jimmy Buffett, and I'm like, "Hello, Jimmy, Mr. Buffett." And he's like, "You can call me Jimmy. Come on, seriously." And I was like, "Yeah, that's great." And I said, "Listen, I just read your book." He's everybody says that to me. What was your favorite part? And I was like, this crazy landing on the ocean, because it's about this seaplane pilot who goes in search of a missing rock star. And I said to him, okay, so he said, you read it. I said, yeah, in fact, I'm really excited about getting my pilot's license. As I stand here before you, I will eventually get my pilot's license. And he said, well, I wish you luck. And he shook my hand, and then he was whisked away.
Great story, huh?
It's awesome.
So, young lady, before you joined, 23 years ago. What have you been doing to keep busy?
Running the club.
Oh, so that's a full-time position.
It's well.
Well, 500 people. Yeah, I guess it would be.
It's an insane asylum.
Yeah. I'm retired now. Before that, I worked at WellCare Health Plans as a product manager for Medicare and Medicaid.
Okay.
So how I used to work a 40-plus job a week, take care of this, and we do an event in March called Music on the Bay. I don't know how I used to do it. I have no idea. Because right now it's a full-time job just to do the two things. So,
hold on one second, Patty. I want to give you a proper goodbye here on the air, dear. Thank you
so much.
Thank you very much for coming down.
It was an honor. I have another meeting, and I'm so bummed to miss the rest of this. Fortunately, I can check it out on Spotify. And so
thank you for all the blue drinks that you brought over. Thank you.
Tampa Bay. Our Ice Pick Tampa Bay.
Absolutely. I got to support that Ice Pick Vodka. It's a fantastic sponsor. We love to have them.
Well, and she's the king of cocktails for us. She's our cart girl, Patty Suzette, and she's an accomplished artist. And you'll be seeing a mural down here at Ferg's sometime shortly.
Very excited about
Patty
that.
Patty told us that was Gatorade. No wonder we're all messed up.
I've had 6 Gatorades, and I feel so full of electrolytes. It's delicious.
Yes. She's Patty Suzette, and she brings a little class to our entertainment group.
Very little class. Bye, guys.
Yeah. So now you have this passion running the Parrothead Club, 500 strong. You're probably working more than 40 hours a week.
I there are times, yes, I do. Yes, I do.
But you love it.
I do love it. I have the heart for it. If I didn't, the passion, I wouldn't be doing it.
All right. I can't let you go without, what's your favorite Jimmy Buffett? And I mean, that's a tough one. What's your favorite Jimmy Buffett song? We'll start with this young lady.
10 Cup Chalice.
Young man,
Tin Cup Chalice and Pirate Looks at 40 for me.
I wish I was looking at 40. Wish I could put it in reverse for about 25 years.
But their Tin Cup Chalice is just, I mean, it's just a magical song.
It is.
It's a fantastic song, and you know, it's
classic Buffett. Classic.
Yes, it is. And Buffett was a big storyteller. I mean, he's one of the best. So.
Well, an incredible writer too of music. And
I want to go back.
To the island. There you go. When we do a new member indoctrination, after we indoctrinate them, believe it or not, we actually do that.
Is there a namesake, and does it involve
having? No.
Close them down with
but
the
But it does involve...
yeah.
It does involve circle dances, and it's 10 Cup Chalice, and Pirate Looks at 40, and then usually fins up.
But I'll tell you what, we're the only club that for $40 a year, you get laid twice and have sex on the beach.
And eat.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
You're making it double.
I think you're going to have more than 500 members after this podcast. You're going to double your membership.
I want a piece of every membership that comes in. I'll contribute it back.
You don't literally want a piece of that.
A piece of the action. Hey,
that's 500, Mike.
There you go. A lot of us.
Well, I think you got the gist of what I meant. We're going to be sending you a lot more people after this little conversation.
Mike likes to be at the bottom.
You know what? I can't even focus now.
That's where I like to keep my career. Up, everybody.
Maybe we can be the Tampa arm over here at Ferg's on a consistent basis.
Well, we have a fifth Wednesdays that we do travel around. Our main place is Whiskey Joe's first and third Wednesdays. But when we have a fifth Wednesday, we travel around because Tampa Bay does... St. Pete's part of us.
Well, you're going to start making a stop here then on Wednesday.
Yeah, we're calling it
a road show.
Hands across the water, everybody.
Yeah, and you know what? That's the name of a great song right there.
Yeah.
Fifth Wednesday.
Yes.
Yeah. You're gonna write the lyrics to it.
Fifth Wednesday. I like that.
He wrote the lyrics to it while sitting in a fifth thirds bank.
That's bad.
He's at it. So he is George Diaz, and not to be confused with the first cousin of Manny Diaz, but be nice to be a relative of his right now. You'd be sitting behind home plate right now. And I want to thank you guys for coming down. And then, of course, Dorothy Bedlin. Thank you, the president, 23 years in the club, and president for a decade now.
And
all right. Who's this young lady that you brought with you? We need to give her a little love.
This is my lovely wife.
Oh, you've been putting up with him?
Yeah.
What's her name? You should have already introduced her. You're in the doghouse already.
Well, I got one last story from her.
It has to do with sex on the beach.
Well, she does do a lot of lays over there over at Whiskey Joe's, you know. Anyways, the first time that we went to the Jimmy concert, she didn't know Jimmy from anybody. And we walked into, it was over at Amalie Arena, it was the Ice Palace before. We walked into the Ice Palace, sat down and everything. And as soon as he came out, she looks at me and she says, "My God, the charisma and the aura this man puts out is just amazing."
His energy, I mean, felt it.
Yeah, a lot of charisma, yeah. That's for sure.
So I'll never forget that reaction from her. And, you know, we've been going back every chance that we had, you know.
Oh, how many concerts have you seen?
Seven concerts.
You got her up by one.
Yeah.
Been going. Bravo to both of you.
Yeah, who did you take to that seventh concert?
Well, of course it was my wife.
She only went to six. She's only
boys, leave them alone.
Just beating up on me.
Yeah. Well,
the two lays and sex on the beach. I love this club.
Yeah, so do I. Hey Terry, get us lined up right now. You got an application for her? Okay, we got the card. All right. Well, you guys have a great weekend. Safe trip back across the bridge, and we appreciate you coming down, and I'll be talking to you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Kingston. Thank you very much. Yeah. Hey, and Dorothy. And what was your wife, lovely wife's name?
Ileana.
I love that name. That's a girl. That a girl. I'll be a happy man. Hey. Thank you very much. Well, that was great to get them across the beach.
Well, it is, and we're sitting down here at Ferg's in front of the pirate ship out here. It's pretty cool down here at Ferg's. We got a nice crowd here, and we're enjoying the pirate ship. And, you know, before we go to break here and we listen to Wild Bill Stereau come on about 6:10 here, tell us about the pirate ship down here at Ferg's. You don't come to a sports bar and walk out back and see a pirate ship. What's the story behind that?
Well, P.T. Barnum, I mean, Mark Ferguson, is always looking for something unique and creative. I don't really have enough time for the entire story. When we come back the second hour, I'll do that. But it's interesting. It was in the parades every year. And Gasparilla. And Mark, it was up for auction. And without telling his wife or anyone, he went over and it's public knowledge. He put $33,000 down on that baby, and it's a lot of fun for the kids.
And it's got a cannon too. Let's maybe fire the cannon off.
That's the Tampa Bay Bucks. Fire the cannons.
Right.
All right. We'll be back for hour number two of our Jimmy Buffett tribute. We got a cast of characters. We're across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg. Stay tuned for hour number two. What? We'll